Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With a big shout out to my awesome team now licensed in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Call or text 901-767-7744. We're still all better looking than a lizard.
This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark's Bensdorf Realtors. When I talk to people about selling their homes or buying one, my motto is stick to your game plan. I learned this from my friend Coach Terry Tippett. Coach, you didn't go into a game without having a plan, did you?
No, Sheldon. Having a plan was critical to the success of all my teams.
That's right, Coach. Sticking to your game plan helped you win 4 state championships.
That's wrong, Sheldon. It was 6, just like the number of shots you make on a par 3.
Well, Coach, we've played golf together. What advice can you give me about my game?
You probably need to stick to real estate, as you're much better at doing that. Or perhaps bowling?
Great advice about real estate, not bowling. And as I always tell people, if they're thinking of selling their home, talk to 2 to 3 real estate brokers and let me be one of them. As they often say, when you want the job done, Coach, who should they call?
Tell Dunn, of course.
You can reach me at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. That's 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com.
Online sports gambling is legal in Tennessee. Action 24/7 is your local bookie. Action 24/7, a sports book by Tennesseans for Tennesseans. Action 24/7, you got action.
Problem gambling? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Mid-South, there's never been a better time to buy than right now at Gossett Kia on Covington Pike. So start your new year in a new ride like 2021 Kia Forte, $142 a month lease. The all-new 2021 Kia Soul, completely redesigned exterior and interior, yours for $148 a month lease. Plus the sporty midsize sedan 2021 Kia K5, $182 a month lease. All 36 months, $3149 to its signing. Plus Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. So hurry to Gossett Kia Covington Pike. Online, KiaCovingtonPike.com. Ask for Bobby J. He'll put you in a Kia today.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
All 36 month leases, $3149 new at signing, zero security deposit, $650 acquisition fee, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Forte ME296274, MSRP 20,625, Soul M775682, MSRP 20,315, K5 MG003199, MSRP 25725, includes all manufacturer rebates and incentives, PF695, excludes tax, title, and license with approved credit, warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details. Offer valid through 13121, dealer stock only.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're...
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Who that? Hey. Hey, who that, man? This what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to we want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. So don't worry about, don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Hope everybody is safe. Happy and healthy as we roll through this hump day, January 27th, and it's a good day for the Memphis Tigers. Continues to be. They have, for the, just the second time this season, first time since December, won three in a row. Home win last night over SMU. We will get all up into it. A lot of good.
when you can beat SMU at home. Certainly by the metrics, their best win of the season. We will ask my partner what he thinks of that. Was it their best? Can they do better? Based on what we've seen these last three, that'll be a question. Of course, though, we'll see the rematch tomorrow down in Dallas. Memphis taking on SMU. That was news, certainly. And then Tennessee's got a new football coach. We will certainly get into that and whether we think Josh Heupel, UCF head coach, former UCF head coach now, is a good or bad hire for the Tennessee Vols. A job I think John and I agree now, not what it used to be.
Not what it used to be, indeed. They do have a new coach. We'll get into all of that today on the show. Memphis got a big win last night. We'll get into that. Here is the show today, 11:25. Mark Giannotto is going to join us on the other side. We will talk to him just about Memphis's win and where they kind of go from here. He's going to join us at 11:25. He's got a column up at commercialappeal.com. Get into all of that with him here in just a little bit. Then we're going to be joined by Rob Doster. We're moving him up because here's the deal. He has come on week after week after week with absolutely nothing to talk about with as it relates to the Tigers.
That's right.
And you know what? We figured, why not bring him on after a win?
That's kind of why we made him a regular, right? We want to hear what he's got to say about the Tigers.
And the last 3 weeks, he has not been able to really weigh in on the University of Memphis because they haven't been playing any games.
Very true.
So we're going to have him on today at 12:25. We'll get his thoughts on Memphis and you know if whether or not their season has been turned around. And also, we will take your calls later in the show. What do you think? We're not going to take your calls? Of course we're going to take your calls. Who was it that you told us to go have a terrible weekend? Mel? Was that him?
Might have been Mel.
What do you think Mel had?
Go have a terrible weekend.
What do you think Mel's thinking today?
I hope he's eating some crow and some humble pie. But again, could understand if he's not because there needs to be more. Memphis ain't done. No, they did what they were supposed to do.
I hope he's eating some chitlins.
It might be a good thing to
reheat the chitlins. So maybe he'll call in a little bit later. We will
eat
take
some
your calls.
Sorry. That's Jason's words. You know, Jason did say him.
Reheated. So anyway, we will take your calls a little bit later in the show. But we must begin. We must begin with the University of Memphis. It looked like very, very recently, it looked like they were down and out. 6-5 going into a pivotal game against, at that time, second-place team in the league, Wichita State. It was the game that would define, potentially, this season. On one side, you had Wichita State, Greg Marshall-less Wichita State, as Jason put it. They were playing hard for their coach, right? On the other side, you
Coach
had
Brown.
Memphis, who came in to this season with such high hopes, ballyhooed recruits, high-profile transfers, a year older from last season, a projected tournament team, but to that point had disappointed. To that point, very much had disappointed. The stakes were quite high.
They were.
What did they do? Like a phoenix. It's like the... They are rising.
Let's go!
They are rising from the ashes. And now, I am not prepared to punch their ticket. Let me say that
now. Are y'all sure?
Holy mess, bro.
The music sounds like it.
Holy mess, John.
I am not prepared to punch their ticket.
My goodness.
But this makes...
Did we make the Sweet 16, Jason?
Not one.
It kind of feels like a BC.
Not two, but three wins in a row for Memphis. Last night, they find a way to get the win against another second-place team in the league. And here we are today. Memphis was picked second in the AAC. And where do they sit on Wednesday, January 27, 2021?
Sole possession.
But second place in the AAC.
Man, we hyped for number
Holy
two.
Crap.
I'm just happy that they're finishing where they're supposed to be.
You messed me up here. This is some real misdirection, because on Calkins this morning, I listened to you. You weren't this excited, so you threw me some misdirection here.
Well, I saved my best stuff for the show. I do.
I see, brother, and it's appreciated.
Holy mess.
Man, I can't help but get goosebumps. John got the whole season turned around. They are on their way. Are they not, John? What are we looking at here? Sweet 16?
I would say
Elite Eight?
Get in the dunk line.
Final
Let's go.
Four.
I have an ordinance. I have something, some legislation I would like to introduce. We are going to rename the U of M. It will remain the U of M,
but it will stand for the University of Musa. My degree came from the University of Musa.
That's why you're excited. Because for the third straight game, he has shined, hasn't he? He's risen.
There are two culprits.
Man.
There are two culprits. I think this season is on the brink of being turned around.
I can't tell if you are serious or if you're being...
I see a team 3 games ago, that team didn't believe.
That I'm... Okay, I'm back with you.
3 games ago...
I said the same thing.
That team was not bought in. They had once again failed to score 60 points. They were offense after offense after offense.
They believed. They thought they were going to lose to Tulsa.
Absolutely.
That was a team that believed it was going to lose to Tulsa for the second time this season.
And when the stakes, quite frankly, were at their highest in the Penny Hardaway era, because let's be clear, to be 12 games through his third season and to be 500 would have been among the coldest buckets of water you could have thrown on this program. That would have constituted a pretty great regression. But that moment, I mean, every program goes through them, you know?
They're you even had it. I mean, I realize that Arterio said it's not related, but you had a decommitment in there.
Speaking of
that crossroads,
it was,
you know,
it was dark.
Right after that Tulsa loss.
And look, part of this is performance theater.
I was going to say, when am I going to get to John Martin's meat? Because this is pretty dramatic.
John, I'm reading these lyrics, and this is some fight music now.
Well, this is a team that's fighting now. I mean, because they last night were on their way to being blown out of the building in that first half. I mean, SMU was more physical. They looked like they wanted it more.
Agreed.
They were beating Memphis to loose balls. I mean, they just looked like they were going to kick Memphis's ass out of the building. And I guess Penny called a timeout, and he went with a different lineup. Musa made a couple of plays, and it turned the game. And I got a call from somebody at the half. They're like, hey, man, what are you going to do right now? You know, SMU right now is, I think SMU was a dog. They were absolutely a dog at the half. I said, if I was going to bet this, I would bet Memphis, because I see a team now that has come together, that has a sort of, there's a thread now that binds it, where I thought it might have been frayed 3 games ago. But I see a team now that has bought into who it is, what it has to do. It rode that chaotic defense to a lead at the half. Alo's playing pretty damn well at the point guard position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now this season is completely – I think the spirit and the tenor of this season has been flipped on its head completely. And they're second in the league. Why can't they finish there?
That was tremendous, Joe. You want to give Musa AAC Player of the Year? Go ahead and give it to him.
I think he deserved what Precious got last year, freshman and player.
I agree with a lot of what you said and feel the same in terms of, like what I see in Courage, that it does feel different than what you saw previous to this 3-game winning streak. Memphis has hit double-digit threes in the last 3 games. We said after last two, well, there's no way they're going to hit 11 threes again. Last night they give you 10. All of a sudden they're hitting shots from long range. That's helping. It's opening things up. But I won't be where you are, which is over the moon, let's be real. I won't be over the moon, right, in terms of feeling that this thing is truly turned around, that they're really headed for something really, really good, maybe a, you know, obviously a tournament spot, until they go down and do it at SMU tomorrow. And until I see more, I'm sorry, but that's just the position they put themselves in.
No, I agree.
John, I think your take is right. This team looks completely different. It believes again. We said it after Tulsa. I mean, it's as simple as they didn't look like they believed they were going to make the plays down the stretch. Last night, and what kind of looked like, if you took the rankings off of both teams and just watched them yet and seen them all season, looked sort of like a heavyweight fight in the AAC. They were trading blows, trading shots, and Memphis was going right back and forth of them. But the difference, John, to your point, a team that believed it was going to be able to pull it out.
Yep.
So in 3 games here, you have flipped that script.
Yep.
But it has to continue because of what you were unable to accomplish in the non-conference. And sort of the stumbling out of the gate here in the AAC, and specifically the two losses to Tulsa. Let's just be real. And they're not some world beater. That's the problem. They just got whipped by Temple last night. So you've set yourself behind the eight ball. To me, you've still got more work to do. I'm encouraged John, you're absolutely right about Musa. It sort of felt like it's unlocked this team offensively. Some of that, obviously, Alex and getting him the ball, other guys getting him the ball. But you can't, but Musa, too, the putback dunk after the Damian Ball miss. A lot of this is just Musa going hard, too. And Memphis now, yep. John, you're using him correctly, as you've pointed out. You know, putting him in the right situation, spots that he can succeed. Right there in front of that goal, so he can just get all those putbacks in the AAC.
Yep.
So I'm encouraged, but I ain't over the moon yet until you go down to SMU, do it there tomorrow, right? You should beat UCF twice. By the time we look up, this team is talented enough that it can win 8 in a row. I'm going to stick to it going into that Houston game in February. I want to see this team get to 14-5. At the least, you know, 13-6.
Yep.
Before I'm ready to say, oh, man, it's turned around and it's going somewhere.
Right.
As opposed to just turned around.
3 games ago.
But you're right, it's changed.
If you would have told me that Memphis was going to win the next 3 games and put itself in a position to be and actually be second place in the AAC on January 27th, I'd have been like, bro, no possible way. No possible way with this team.
When that team looked offensively.
And whatever you want to accredit it to. I mean, obviously there are a variety of things that you could attribute it to. You could attribute it to you finally found some steady point guard play from Alex Lomax.
I mean, it's got to be right up there at the top.
You have found, I mean, Musa being the guy he was supposed to be is big to me. You know,
we realize that. We just heard the open.
The University of Musa.
You tweet about him and you've changed the name of the university. I don't know if his play is worthy of that.
I mean, just look at what he's done the last 3 games, you know? I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, they brought Musa in to be that. They didn't bring Musa in to play 10 minutes a game.
But Penny Hardaway's pulling him down the stretch because he's worried about the pick-and-roll defense.
Well,
I'm saying we can't change the name of the university.
But do I think they would have—
You think he's a weakness down the stretch?
Look, are there—
We can go back and forth on that, too.
He's not a perfect player, but I don't think they would have lost the game if Musa would have been in there. I mean, I think because of his presence, sheerly, and you see it time after time in these last 3 games— he's making an unbelievable difference defensively.
Well, he had taken over that game at one point in the first half.
It worked out. You know, they did. But let's not, you know, it was very touch and go there in the final 2 or 3 minutes.
Sure, I mean,
they had to get that 3 waved off.
If DeAndre Williams don't hit that shot, you know, they put him ahead for good. About 2 minutes left. You got to give him credit down the stretch. He's hitting big shots for you. You know, a guy who's still trying to, you know, sort of kind of gel, right? You plopped him in the middle, and that seems to start to be – it's starting to come together, even though he's had a few too many turnovers at times. He hit some big shots for you last night. He's a big part of the effort.
You know, I've been burned by this team so many times over the last, I don't know, 7 years. And this would not be the first time that I have had hope. You know, I mean, look, I had hope in Penny's first season. You know, when
I don't know if I can take it again, Brad, but go ahead. I don't know if John
really
can rev it back up that high
well,
again.
I'm not really going to do that. I'm just
okay. I'll simmer down.
I'm just saying.
I'm glad we're simmering. We're bringing the temperature down a little bit.
Yeah,
I think that's appropriate.
Back going.
Yeah, I mean, it would not be the first time.
I'm not a believer here yet, folks.
And I think that's a fair position to take. But I believe what is happening in front of us now is that Memphis is becoming the team. It is becoming the team, not become, but becoming. The process has begun. It is becoming the team that it could always and was always supposed to be.
Why? Exactly.
Because the talent is there, and the talent has always been there. Nobody arrived. Nobody magically came down on a magic carpet and said, here I am. I am here to change the whole entire season. This is always who Memphis was supposed to be, which is why we were so disappointed after what happened in South Dakota and the way that the offense looked over the last 10 games, you know, over the first 10 games of the season.
Right.
This is who Memphis was, make no mistake, always capable of being. We weren't sitting in here making that up. You know, everybody wanted to say, well, you know, these players ain't good.
They're not talented
they're
enough.
They're weak-minded.
Y'all blew them
they're
up.
Absolutely wrong.
Give me a break.
Reject that. You know, these guys were among the highest-rated recruits in their recruiting classes when they got here. This is always who Memphis was capable of being. They're just learning, and it's taken a little longer than maybe we thought it would or it should have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're finally learning. You know, Lester, I mean, that was a huge, huge tough rebound he came down with yesterday after that.
Lester's playing well in a lot of different areas. It's not just one.
You know, Alo is becoming, you know, again, I don't think we're going to look back on Alo.
I heard you yesterday say this.
With the same reverence. Like Andre turned his career around, and by the end, he was – maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Alo has a great
rest of the junior season, and he comes back as the starter, as a senior, and is awesome. I really hope.
Tell BC for the folks that didn't hear you with Giannotto and Jeffrey yesterday, those two.
So Andre Turner started his career as Andre Turner.
Right.
You know, and by the end, he was the little general.
Yep.
You know, he's a program hero. He's revered at Memphis.
Yeah. Now, he hit shots to win games and big runs in tournaments. Now, that,
let me
you got to add
him.
That to it.
When they pressed Andre his junior year, did he stop the ball, stop dribbling it, and get trapped so you had to call a timeout?
Well, you see where Brad's going.
But that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I don't know if we're going to look at A-Lo the same way. I don't know if we're going to look at A-Lo the same way. But I do think he is playing some of his best basketball.
I thought it was interesting you brought it up, because I think ultimately, will he be as accomplished as Andre? Hell no. I said, Andre just hit big shots in tournament runs. I mean, program hero like we talked about. But in terms of John leading the team.
Yes. He's,
that's
he's
what they were
that.
Missing when they were struggling, mm-hmm. you know, in addition to turning the ball over here for a second straight year at a ridiculous rate. That's what I, to get back to the word we sort of been the theme of, the, what I believed before all of this was that they were talented enough that if they stopped turning the damn ball over and just play decent in point guard, you probably got a tournament team, because they're going to beat up just about everything in the AAC that's down. That's what we said before. And it's still the case right now. That's what I believed before. And all these last three games have been as confirmation of that. I mean, Alex is still what he had, 4 turnovers yesterday. You know, he's still making some mistakes, but you're getting between those mistakes is some competent play, confident play. Alex Lomax hit some key layups last night offensively, helped keep them going offensively. You're getting competent play now in a guy who believes he's the leader and a team who believes that's our guy, right? When he's out here and he can be playing either. You know, we kind of go as he goes. Yep. If you're playing poorly, we're probably not going to do very well. Although they did last game. Alex wasn't great against ECU. They still won going away because of that great first half. But my point is, the belief was always there that Memphis could be this. John said the same thing. And now we're seeing it. So you're getting some competent play. I'll tell you right now, it's scary on them free throws, though.
It is. It is scary on them free throws.
What, it missed 12, 13 free throws last night?
Yes, it is. It's going to cost them.
I'm glad you said that because it already has.
Yep.
We sort of have this mentality around here that you'll make them when they're supposed to, going back to Cal. But remember, they missed 12 free throws in the Auburn game. How many did they lose to Auburn by? 3 points. Okay? Yep. So you could say it's going to cost them. It already has this season. And it could have cost them last night in that tight game. But DeAndre Williams makes a big shot, big three again there with 2 minutes left. And just to Memphis' point, not just to single out DeAndre, they made the plays down the stretch, unlike against Tulsa, a team that believed in itself, made the plays down the stretch to pull out that win. So it, good thing. This team's believing. We're believing a little bit more in it, in the fact that, okay, this is what we thought we'd see. But what hasn't changed is you need to do this again on Thursday, frankly, because that was quad two. Let's get back to what a committee would be looking at. It was quad two last night because they're here. They're in Memphis. 50-something ranked team in the net. Go down there and do it. Well, there's your first quad one win of the season.
Yep.
And then, like I told somebody on Twitter, then I think you're officially on a roll, right? Then there's no debate whether it's your best win. That would clearly be your only quad one win, and then I would say you're officially on a roll. Keep it going. Beat UCF twice. Get a couple of more. Maybe you're headed into Houston 14-5. Then we can start talking.
Absolutely. If you look at it last night, again, we talk about the talent. 5 different players, including DJ Jeffries, finished in double figures last night.
He hit some big perimeter shots to keep them going at a time it was getting.
Yep. I mean, that's who,
had Penny sticking with him there for a while.
You know, I mean, that is who Memphis can be.
Now,
I mean, that's what I keep coming back to. That's why today I don't feel like it's crazy. Because this is not something that has just appeared out of thin air. It's been evasive. This kind of effort all year has been evasive. It's evaded the Tigers. But this is who, within them, they were always capable of being, period. It's why they were ranked basically 26th in the country to start the year. Because you take one quick scan of that roster, and it's loaded. It's always been loaded. It's been a matter of, you know, you've gone through some trial and error. You know, Penny probably messing around with their lineups and the rotations too long, change offense, et cetera. But maybe, just maybe, there's finally some stability here. That'll be a good thing.
Here's the other part of it we mentioned, too, about believing in and why they could look like this now and beat some decent teams is because of the defensive side. And I don't want to mention all that good offense and now a team that believes offensively without mentioning how consistent they've been on that end. And that's the other part that's what allows you to miss 12, 13 free throws, still win a game. It's worth pointing out, because last night they did it again even though obviously SMU shot the ball well, season high. I think you gave up 48% to SMU in terms of shooting, season high in terms of what you've allowed. Last night against their leading scorer, Kendrick Davis, you were fantastic. He's the AAC's leading scorer. You held him 11 points below his average on 4 of 14 shooting, 0 of 5 from 3. Remember the one they took off the board. Jeff made a great point this morning. If Alex Lomax doesn't jump at that shot and he doesn't have to pump fake, then that shot's probably not late. That shot's going in. So you got to credit the Tigers' defense there. 6 assists, 6 turnovers. They did a hell of a job. I think they focused so much on Davis. It's part of the reason why they gave up so many other open shots to guys like Jolly and the rest of them. But for the third straight game, you go and take one of the top 5 scorers in the AAC, and you absolutely shut him down.
Yep.
In this case, 11 points below his average. Jaden Gardner against ECU was 6 points below his average. More impressively, against Wichita State, Tyson Etienne was the second leading scorer, about 18 points per game. They held him to 3. And so for the last three stars, quote-unquote, the AAC they faced here, last 3 games, all wins, they've held those guys by below their scoring average by a combined 32 points. That's impressive, and it's replicable.
Yep.
For a team with this kind of length, this many guys, you keep doing that, you're going to keep yourself in ball games. You keep shooting it the way you are, you got a chance really to get on a roll here.
I mean, and I think it's hard for us because, like, you want to bottom line it, right? You want to bottom line what we're saying. I don't think you can really bottom line it yet. I think what Memphis is trying to do and what Memphis is in the midst of doing, they were not even in the vicinity of tournament talk, right? They weren't even in the vicinity of it. Insulting to even talk about that. These 3 games, they're inching closer. They're inching closer.
Doing what you're supposed to do.
Long way to go. Long way to go.
Thursday.
You're not first 4 out. You're not next 4 out. You're not last. You know.
I said it before they got on this street. Yeah, that's what you got. You got to do to me is put together a streak.
Yep. What you do is what you've done in these last 3 games is you've kept yourself alive. You've kept yourself alive.
Yeah.
For this season.
Weren't they favored in all 3?
Yes.
They're doing what they're supposed to have done.
Yes.
Yeah.
At this point. Do you think SMU will be favored tomorrow?
They probably will be.
All right. That's the one. And like we said, that would be a quad one. And that's to me, that's when I get like you. You know, and we're messing around about where we both. I think we're both generally in the same boat.
Yep.
But that's when I'm ready to come in here and sing and this thing's turned around. Man, they've really got it figured out. Now they're going and doing spots in spots where they're the underdog and doing things that, you know, whether it's Ken Pomeroy, Vegas, or whoever else think they can. That's when I'll be ready to say, all right, man. You know, they're ready in a few games for that shot at Houston that we know, you know, first of 2 shots at Houston, going to be so critical in terms of trying to get back in the hunt for an at-large. I tell you what, they're not there yet, but there's a lot of bad basketball, a lot of bad college basketball all over the country. They're going to be looking for teams. And so if you can keep doing this,
yep,
right, you're going to give them a reason to look. And then hopefully you got yourself a chance. John, they got to get one of those 2 against Houston. You know, stay on this roll, get one of those ones, and then we'll be talking.
Yep.
But they've got things looking up right now.
Absolutely. All right, we will come back. Mark Gino is going to join us on the other side. We will talk to him about where he is exactly on this Memphis basketball team and program.
Yep.
And then we're going to take your calls a little bit later in the show. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guys, it's time to celebrate the 55th edition of the Big Game with exclusive 55-1 odds that you're only going to get on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never tried FanDuel before, it's perfect. New users can bet on either team, Tampa or KC, and get 55-1 odds when they play. That's right. You can bet $5. We'll spell that out for you. Win $275 if you pick the winner of the Big Game on February 7th. Obviously, I'd be going with KC and Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of Radio.com and 92.9 FM ESPN. What I love are the quick payouts. Well, the times that I've won, I've gotten my winnings back in as little as 24 hours. I cannot say the same for the other sportsbook. It takes longer than that. Plus, FanDuel's got all the best boosted specials. Those are coming daily. Always look for them, whether it's NFL, NBA, whatever you want. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code, if you would, JSmith, to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code JSMITH. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus is $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
College football this morning. Interesting story here percolating. The University of Tennessee is going to hire Central Florida's Josh Heupel to be their new head football coach. Connect the dots here. Tennessee's new athletic director, Danny White, came from UCF, where he brought aboard Josh Heupel. So he's going to move him from Orlando to Knoxville, and that opens up a great opportunity for someone to be Central Florida's head coach.
KJZ, weekday mornings from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Imagine feeling the freedom of 20/20 vision without the hassle of foggy glasses and contacts. Well, thanks to the LASIK Vision Institute, that freedom could be yours. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way. At the LASIK Vision Institute, we're offering dramatically low prices, as low as $220 per eye, plus affordable financing. Go to LASIK.com and see if LASIK is right for you. The LASIK Vision Institute offers the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology, and our expert medical teams have performed over 1.3 million procedures. Technology and experience all more affordable than you might imagine. Go to LASIK.com today to schedule your free consultation and start feeling the freedom of better vision. That's LASIK.com. Individual results vary. $220 per eye price available based on prescription. Go to LASIK.com for details. Patients age 40 and over will likely experience the need for reading glasses.
Hey, this is JJ Redick. You all know our podcast, The Old Man and the Three, covers everything there is to know about the NBA and the stars that shape the game. But we also dig deeper. And a big part of that is our leadership series, where we interview some of the biggest names in business, entertainment, and politics. Recently, we had former CEO and current chairman of Disney, Bob Iger, join the show.
Listen very carefully, not only to what others say, because everybody gets that, listen to others, but listen to what you're saying and what you're doing. That's rarely done. How am I communicating not just leadership, but orders to people? How am I telling people what to do? How am I soliciting their opinion? And when I do, am I communicating in a very authentic way that I really want to hear it?
Subscribe and listen to The Old Man and the Three with me, JJ Redick, and my good friend Tommy Alter. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, radio.com, and anywhere you get your shows.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it would be too difficult? Then try Babbel. Babbel starts by teaching you words and phrases that gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations. So in 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking a new language in a few weeks. Babbel is built around real life. It teaches you practical conversations that you will actually use. Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com today. That's Babbel.com.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin. With all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
His name is Mark Giannotto. He's an award-winning columnist for The Commercial Appeal. You can follow him at M. Giannotto on Twitter. He joins us now, as he usually does, on Wednesdays. Mark, how good you feeling? How much fun was the Tigers' win last night over SMU?
It was just a great game. Like, you know, it wasn't a perfect game, but it was just a entertain. That second half where they're going back and forth at each other, you know, Memphis goes up by 9.
Yep.
Then SMU responds, ties it up. Then DJ Jeffries goes off. SMU responds again. DeAndre Williams and Alo make big plays down the stretch. It was just a fun game to be at, to watch. Excuse me. But in general, it's just fun seeing them play well. I mean, I don't know if this means the season is gonna. This is an NCAA tournament team now, or if they're going to continue doing this. All I know is that the past three games have been a lot of fun to watch, them getting better, to watch them progress. And it culminated last night, I thought, with just a really fun college basketball game,
yep,
which was made, you know, obviously better because the Tigers pulled it out. And I think that's, you know, four of their five losses, guys, are by 7 points or less this year. So I don't think it's anything to kind of look past that in a close game down the stretch in the last few minutes, they finally, you know, I know I guess the Tulane game a couple weeks ago was a closer game down the stretch, but this felt like the first time they really, you know, came up with the big plays, mm-hmm, to beat a good team in a close game. And it felt really encouraging, especially coming off, you know, the first two games. Because it's just interesting to me the three different ways they won these games. In that, you know, they beat Wichita State with this, you know, second half surge where they just leave Wichita State in their dust. Then against ECU, they have this spectacular first half where they put away a bad team early, like mm-hmm. they like just like they should. And then in this SMU game, they have to dig out of an early hole and then, you know, kind of close out a back and forth game down the stretch. They won three games in three different ways. And so, I don't know if they've dug themselves too big a hole to ultimately go on. You know, they put themselves in a position where they have to win a lot of games to reach their goals. And maybe they can. Certainly if they keep playing this way, they're going to give themselves a chance in every game. But it's just a lot more fun when they're playing well. When you have an entertaining game like last night, and when you feel like, you know, there's, you know, whether they end up turning this thing all the way around, you just feel a lot more hopeful about what's going on with that program now than you did a week ago.
And watching this thing as closely as you are and talking to Penny afterwards, Mark, what's the biggest difference offensively for this team? You know, that right now is what hit double digit threes in the last three games. Now I think it's after failing to score 60 the previous three. What's the biggest difference offensively between, you know, then and those struggles and what's happened in the last three games?
I really think it's they're just hitting the number of three pointers they're hitting. It loosens up a lot of things within their offense, and I think they're getting better shots. That's what I sense. Like, I know that maybe they were getting open shots before. I know Penny has said when they did an analysis of it, they felt they were getting a lot of open shots and just missing open shots. But they're getting a lot of rhythm shots now that mm-hmm. it didn't feel like they were getting before. Like, a lot of the three-pointers they're hitting are off driving kicks, sure. catch and shoots.
Yep.
It's not guys trying to take someone off the dribble. Or a pull-up or something at the end of the shot clock. If it is at the end of the shot clock, again, it's in rhythm. And so I really think the biggest thing offensively has just been, you know, getting more three-pointers. I mean, the three-pointers in that game, if they don't get the three-point shooting they got from Landers Nolly and DJ Jeffries last night, you know, SMU is the type of team with they're even without – Kendrick Davis, you know, even with Memphis shutting down Kendrick Davis, I mean, SMU has a lot of guys who can score the basketball. And if you didn't have that three-point shooting last night, you can't win that game. And so I think that's been the most encouraging thing. And I think that's built off of, one, you're getting better point guard play from Alex Lomax.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in turn, the better point guard play is helping you get better shots. And the better shots, I think, are opening things up for Musa inside. It's all built off each other. And they're still not playing, you know, as Penny put it last night, it's not like they were clicking on all cylinders last night. The first 10 minutes were pretty rough. But we've said all along, Jason, you've said it a lot. If they just don't turn the ball over like maniacs and they play decent offensively. They don't even have to play great offensively. Just decent offensively, with how good they are defensively. That's all they need, and that's what's shown in these three games. Like, they've been better offensively, and at times for stretches have been good, but it's still not like some world beater of an offense. But they don't need that with how they play defense.
You're exactly right, Mark. It is an ecosystem. Point guard play, made shots, Musa, it certainly is all coming together. On Musa's point, though, specifically, because I think that first half, and I want to say it happened against Wichita State as well, there were a couple plays he made that really sort of turned the energy around just at that moment in the game, right? Like, and I think there was a case last night against SMU, whether it was a block or a dunk or whatever. Clearly, you know, the team is responding to that. What sort of is your assessment of why it's changed for him? I mean, do you think it's as simple as shots are just going in now, Or do you think it's deeper than that? Like maybe he was misused a little bit earlier in the year, and now they're keeping it extremely simple for him? Because I do see the utilization looks a lot different to me than if you compare it to the beginning of the season as well. And it looks to me like he's thriving because of it.
Yeah, no, and I think you're right. I think he changed the complexion of the game in the first half. I mean, that run they're down 13, and that run at the end of the first half, he kickstarted it with his energy, whether it was rebounding the ball, blocking shots, forcing, adjusted shots, dunking the ball. He was a real catalyst there. And I think you're right in that. I think what you can see if he's getting the ball a lot less, there were some, for whatever reason, in the, first 10, 11 games, there were too many times. It wasn't a ton, but there were too many times where he was getting the ball on the perimeter for some reason. And he should never touch the ball on the perimeter at this point in his career. And there were too many times where he was getting the ball with his back to the basket. And because at this point in his career, he just doesn't have that in his skill set yet. He's not a great back to the basket guy. I know he's gotten some buckets here and there, but it's never looked comfortable. Nothing has really looked comfortable with his back to the basket. What they've done a great job at is he's now getting the ball. When he gets the ball right now, it's either on putbacks or it's him rolling to the basket. It's him going, it's him charging towards the basket for a dunk. And that's, as much as you probably he's a five-star, you want him to be more than just a guy who dunks and rebounds and plays great defense. That is exactly what Memphis needs out of him. When he does that, and what he's done these last three games, he's done that, where he's been just a great rebounder, a great finisher at the rim, and a presence defensively. But you've seen, they've had their three best games. And so that's what they need from him. So I think they're putting him in better position. And I also think he's playing with more energy, but he's not obviously, close to a finished product. And we even saw it last night where Penny, did not feel comfortable playing him down the stretch because he's not there yet in pick and roll defense. He's just, and he's still fine tuning quite a bit of things in his game. But even as raw as he is, we've seen these last three games, what a difference maker he can be inside. Right now, even right now, where with his game still with a lot of room to grow.
So it's almost like you're excited about the win. It is a good win. Like that's a really good win, the best win of the season for Memphis metrically. And I think just the eye test will tell you that's the best win of the season for Memphis. But it's still kind of hard to decipher what it means, right? Like that's kind of the sticking point right now. Is like you can't come in today and say, oh, well, now Memphis is a tournament team. That's not true. What is the right way to look at what that win means meant for Memphis last night?
I think it means that you're playing every game you win from here on out makes the next game more meaningful. We're still on the low scale, of the meaningful in terms of meaningfulness, But as you keep, you got to win. You got to win two, three in a row to win four in a row, and you got to win. You know what I mean? Like, you can't get to where you want to go without winning games. And I would just say, the way I would look at it is whether they ultimately end up winning enough games to make the NCAA tournament. Like, you want to feel, one of the goals of in any season. Obviously, number one is make the NCAA tournament, try to win a national championship. But you also, the secondary goal of any team is you want to feel better about the program and the team at the end of the year than you did at the beginning of the year. And I think one of the fears and one of the reasons why those first 11 games were so concerning is that we did not feel better about the program and about the team, than we did at the beginning of the year. And now you're starting to see a pathway where, if they continue playing like this, if they continue to further define roles, I think that's an underappreciated part of this three-game surge is it feels like guys are actually settling into roles now. But if they continue doing this, you can see, there's a path to where you finish the year going, all right, well, I certainly feel better about this program than I did at the beginning of January. And so I think that's how you look at it. They're getting better. And if they continue to get better, there could be some big things ahead. But for now, just I think we just savor the fact that this team is getting better in many, many facets, whether it's shooting, whether it's Musa, whether it's Penny's coaching decisions, whether it's, whether it's just in terms of their chemistry and teamwork and their sort of camaraderie. All of it is getting better over, and it's, it's pretty wild to think in about a 7-day span how the narrative has changed just with 3 wins, and how, frankly, it could be like a week from today, because between now and a week from today, they're going to have played, I think, 3 games. And so if they win 3 more in a row, the conversation is going to change even more. So that's how I would look at it, as the beginning, hopefully, of a nice little narrative, if you will, and hopefully it continues.
Know how much you like
narratives. I think if they keep playing the way they did these last 3 games, they're going to win quite a few games here down the stretch.
What's Mark Giannotto's key, if there's one above the others, to doing it again tomorrow in Dallas, where it'll mean even more? Like you said, you keep winning, but that one would obviously be not just continuing the streak, but a quad one. If there's one key to winning tomorrow above all others, what would you say it is?
I think it's Alex Lomax, because I think what we've seen is, even in that game last night, when he played, they went down 13, and it was in part because, one, he wasn't playing at the start of the game because they started Jaden Hardaway again.
Yep.
And then, two, his first few minutes, his first stint in the game, he was not good, Alex Lomax. He played much better the rest of the way until, the very end was a little shaky. But his first stint was not good. And the more and more you watch this team, the more and more it becomes clear. And, Jason, I think you were hitting on this earlier than everyone. As Alex Lomax goes, it seems like this team goes. He is the heartbeat of this team, for better and for worse. And so I really think he's the key, also because he's going to be the one tasked with defending Kendrick Davis again. And, I find it hard. He went 4-14 from the field last night. I think they'll be able to control him, but I find it hard to believe you're going to just completely hold him in check again, but maybe Alo can. But I think if he plays well, we see when this offense just looks a lot better when Alo is playing well. He's the only guy on this roster, it feels like, who has true point guard sensibilities. Mm-hmm. The problem, of course, is his effectiveness is, it vacillates. Like, he can have spurts where he looks awesome, and he has spurts where he looks awful. And when he looks good, this Memphis team looks good. So I'm gonna say it's Alex Lomax. He's the key tomorrow.
And isn't it fair? I'm with you. Isn't it fair at this point to say? Isn't it a fair criticism that you're setting yourself back in starting Jaden for what we've seen with Alex, for better or for worse, like you've said, that you're just setting yourself back in starting Jaden? Like you said, Alex gets in and he's got to get settled in. Like, that takes time too. And what it does is the idea where you could have possibly had a quick start. And I know Penny would probably point us to ECU and say, well, we got off to a quick start there. But it seems to me like it's clearly you're holding yourself back there with that. That Hardaway could still be a part of the rotation, just not at the front like that. Because if you're inevitably just going to start Lomax in the second half, I don't get the point, Mark. You're setting yourself back.
I'm with you. I think Penny just thinks about it. But from covering him these,
like you said, superstitious.
Third year,
he sticks with
his. I think he's superstitious. Like, yep. I don't think he's guy.
I think you're right.
Jaden start again because they keep winning.
I think you're right.
And until they lose, he'll switch.
That's
it.
What
and
he does.
I think he's willing to. I think he's starting Jaden with the knowledge that I might need to pull him quickly. And you saw last night, more so than ECU and Wichita, SMU. When they, with that starting lineup, they really pressured ball handling.
Yes, they did.
At the beginning of the game, they were well aware that there was not a true point guard out there on the floor. And you saw at the beginning of the game, Memphis was struggling to even get into its offensive sets because it just didn't have a strong ball handler out there. Lester did his best, but then ultimately defensively, which is unfortunately, like, Jaden still has, some room for growth defensively. And you saw SMU take advantage of that a little bit. But he's been a nice player. I
agree with
you.
No doubt. He's improved.
I was wondering, at the end of the game, You know, whether the, you know, he's hit some clutch free throws this, you know, over the, you know, this year. I wondered if they would bring him in for that. Like, I agree with you, but I think ultimately I'm not going to complain. You know, to
I
me,
get it. Right, they're winning.
It's a small quibble. Sure. As long as they're winning, like, you know, I can understand if Penny's a little superstitious and wants to keep the starting lineup, not tinker with it until they lose a game with it. I wouldn't necessarily do that, but I can, you know, I can see why he would maybe, you know, if that's how you feel about things, that's how you got. If that's what you're comfortable with, that's what you're comfortable
with.
Well,
I mean, I think it's because they're winning that he's not going to change. My only thing with it is like it just feels pointless. It just feels like,
and it's almost unfair to Jaden,
right?
Who didn't come here as a point guard,
right?
Now it's seeing if he can handle it,
right?
But you're putting him in a situation where you're asking, all right, get us in a flow. And that's when has that ever been, you know, sort of Jaden's thing?
Right, because, I mean, the truth
is, almost unfair to him.
If they were not winning, I mean, would we not be talking about this lineup totally differently?
I wonder if they had lost last night, Mark, it'd be a different – I'd be asking you that question with a different tone, right?
I mean, because they managed, right? They managed to go with a lineup there in that first half that did change the dynamics of the game, right, and late in the second half.
Yeah.
But they were in a 10-point, 12-point hole.
Mark's right. I mean, they're winning, so it feels like a quibble right now, but I just wonder if it could cost them at some point.
I think
you know?
You're right. You might as well preemptively avoid – you're going to get criticized if you lose and you do it. And it doesn't work. And at the very least, if you know, let's be honest, if you change the starting lineup and you lose, I just don't think you're going to get criticized like you would if you don't change it and lose.
Yeah, I mean, because it's always the same formula. You know, he starts the game, he plays fewer minutes than pretty much everybody else, and that's it, you know. I mean, it's just like I'm not sure what it's achieving is all I'm saying.
And you're in must-win mode right now, too.
Correct.
That's the other part
about
it.
I think the
reason Penny did it initially is because before this winning streak started, he was dealing with the team of guys who, like, wouldn't accept a role.
Sure.
And the Jaden, one of the things that's been so refreshing about him, and I think why Penny put him in the starting lineup, is for a while there, it felt like Jaden was one of the few guys on the team – who knew exactly what he could and could not do on the court.
Yeah.
You know, he was playing within himself more than anyone else. And I think that's why Penny put him in the starting lineup, because he was a guy who was actually, you know, he was doing what he was supposed to do, so to speak. And now we've got, you know, this 3-game winning streak, there's a lot of guys doing that now. But you know, I think he was inserted into the starting lineup with good intentions. But maybe I think you guys might be right that it maybe has served its purpose at this point.
Yep. Boise State and Memphis, by the time they play this home and home, will they be conference mates?
I suspect in some form or fashion, yes. Like, I have a feeling this non-conference game, I mean, I guess they could play it. They could play it, you know, the ACC has had a couple times over the past couple years where two of their conference teams have played a non-conference game against each other. So I guess you could formulate the schedule in those years where Memphis isn't playing Boise State in regular season league play if they're in the same league, and they would play a non-conference game against each other. But I don't know. I mean, Boise's trying to get in AAC right now, it sounds like. And by 2030, I would suspect there's going to be another round of conference realignment of some kind, and it would not shock me at all, given the priority both Boise State and now over the last decade Memphis have put on football, and how good their teams have been over, you know, Boise over the last, you know, 10 to 20 years, and Memphis over the last 7-8 years. Like, it would, you know, especially if neither team. If both schools end up on the outside looking in conference realignment again, you know, in terms of the Power Five or whatever it ends up being, you know, it seems very likely to me that Boise and Memphis would end up in a conference of some kind later on, you know, this decade. So my guess, if you ask me today without any sort of real knowledge, my guess would be by 2030 they're in the same conference.
Yep, I think exactly. I appreciate the ambition. I appreciate the ambition on the behalf of the University of Memphis Athletic Department, but I think at that point.
No, you wish they had scheduled this, you know, 3-4 years ago.
Exactly.
So coming up in a couple years.
That's exactly right.
They should have been scheduling. They should have been trying to get Boise State on the schedule. You know, once they really got rolling under with when the transition from Fuente to Norvell went well, that's when they should have been trying to schedule. Maybe they were. And it just didn't work out till now.
Instead, we get Arkansas
State. This is obviously a game that makes sense for Memphis.
Absolutely. Mark, man, appreciate the time. We'll be listening at 2 o'clock,
Thank you,
man.
Mark.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yep. He is Mark Giannotto, joins us every single Wednesday here on the show. And, I like the game a lot. I just think it's going to be a conference game by 2030. That's all. And so it's just, I appreciate you scheduling it. In 10 years, you'll be in your 50s. How about that? By the time this game is played, you will be in your 50s. How does that make you feel?
I just hope I get there, John. Well, let's be real honest with you.
You've given yourself a chance.
Look around, and my gosh, our man Sekou Smith, 48 years old.
Wow.
God rest his soul.
Yep.
Yeah, in real talk, just hope I get to 10 years from now and into my 50s.
Yeah, that
man was 48 years old.
That was very sad,
yeah, not to send it down that way, but to your point, can't take anything for granted these days.
No, you can't. You
got to cherish everyone you get, man.
That's what I thought last night, too. Like, it puts everything into perspective. I know it's incredibly cliched, but it's like, it's two reminders. One, this corona thing ain't over. And then two,
Amen
it's like
that.
Getting through all this and just getting your health through, you know, at our age, you know.
Yep, it's
48 years old.
It's man. Sad.
48.
Yeah.
He was on y'all's show back in August. I think we chronicled.
I went back and looked. I saw the segment. We talked about Zion and just went all over the NBA with him.
I mean, I think you can tell by the tributes, you know.
Yeah.
His family's from Mississippi. His wife's family, I think, was from Mississippi. So, you know. Loves the Delta and all that stuff.
If y'all are just tuning in, it's Sekou Smith passed away, was with NBA.com, was the Clarion Ledger before that, tied in with NBA Circles, was a guest on this show multiple times. Yeah, that he died of COVID yesterday at the age of 48 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it was sad to see for sure. For our friend of the show, Sekou Smith, rest in peace certainly to him and thoughts to his family. That's hard. We will come back, lots more to come in the rundown. We'll talk about Boise State and Memphis. We'll talk about this Memphis basketball program.
Tennessee got a new football coach, too.
I mean, GameStop. You gotta.
Should we have gotten in, John? And
I tried to get in today.
It's too late.
They rejected my order. I'll tell you what happened in the rundown. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen to 92.9 on your smart speakers. Just say play 92.9 ESPN. Powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station.
Calling all aspiring football pros. Subway Restaurants, with the help of NFL stars Marshawn Lynch and Keenan Allen, is launching the Subway Protein Awards to celebrate high school athletes across the country. Starting today through Saturday, February 6th, high school football players are encouraged to submit a video of their best pro moves, craziest catches, hardest tackles, longest throws, or most epic kicks for a chance to be one of 20 winning players receiving a $1,500 scholarship from Subway. Log on to subway.com/protein to register. That's subway.com/protein. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Nominations open to legal residents of the 50 United States and D.C. who are full-time high school students with demonstrated football skill. Nominations begin at 12:01 a.m. Eastern on 1/15/21 and ends 11:59:59 p.m. Eastern on 2/6/21. Check back on 1/15/21 for official rules.
It's the Start Something New sales event on now at Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on the Pike, where you'll find 2020 Jeep Renegade Latitude 4-wheel drive, IIHS top safety pick, $19,688 or $245 a month. You ready to charge up in your new 2020 Dodge Charger? We Gossett at $24,990 or $325 a month. And get Ram tough in a 2020 Ram 1500 Tradesman Crew Cab 4x2, just $26,740 or $349 a month. So drive past the rest and come to the best at Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat, 1901 Covington Pike, or shop online anytime at GossettMotorCars.net.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
Almost financed through Chrysler, all $3,500 cash down, 75 months at 4.10% APR. Renegade LPMO 2132, MSRP 26580, Charger LH248214, MSRP 32860, Ram LS156730, MSRP 38185. Includes all rebates and incentives, PS 695, excludes tax on license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through end of the month. Dealer stock only.
Pigskin fans, the moment you've been waiting for all season is right around the corner. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. grabs. All you have to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you'll get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. Download the app now. Enter the free prediction challenge. Answer questions like who will score last, and boom, get ready to make it rain. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code WMFS to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. That's code WMFS, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
There is a nationwide gun and ammo shortage. Thank goodness at Top Gun Memphis, we still have ammo and firearms to sell. Come on out to the largest indoor gun store and gun range and academy in the Mid-South. If you're ready to take your permit to carry class, you can sign up online at TopGunMemphis.com. That's TopGunMemphis.com. The largest indoor gun store, gun range, and permit to carry academy in the Mid-South. TopGunMemphis.com.
Have you been denied credit? Are you paying high interest rates because of a low credit score? Join the thousands of people who've relied on CreditRepair.com to help rebuild their credit score.
I went to get my first car. I had to get a used car, high interest, and so I knew that things were done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.